You all said, "Thanks be to God," after I said, "This is the gospel. This is the good news of the Lord." It hardly sounds like good news. It sounds more like a real challenge, doesn't it, to our sensibilities, our values, and our relationships. Jesus is challenging us to think differently about our lives, our commitments, our possessions, and about our commitment to following Jesus with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. He says here that we should hate our families. Months ago, I preached on this, and I said that hate means leaving behind. It's like in Genesis when Moses describes marriage after Adam and Eve are brought together, that the one is supposed to leave their father and mother, to leave their father and mother and be united to their wife. And so hating means actually leaving behind. It means a change of relationship, a shift in priorities. It doesn't mean that you despise your family. He charges us to carry our own cross, which is another way of saying to follow Jesus, to understand that there will be suffering ahead. There will be a cost to pay on our own part in our integrity in following Jesus. He also likens it to someone who builds a tower, who first sits down and considers all the material that they have, if they have everything they need to build and finish that tower, as well as a king who goes out to war to really consider the number of troops, the strength of arms of the opponent, so that they don't make a foolish mistake in waging war. And then he ends it by summarizing it all. "So therefore, none of you can be one of my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." Jesus is calling us to let go. To let go of our grip on things. Maybe you've heard the story of King Midas, who had a vision thousands of years ago while he was on his bed sleeping. A fairy came to him in the middle of the night to grant him a wish. And the fairy not only was going to grant him one wish, but suggested actually something. "Do you want all the gold in the world?" Because the fairy understood how much King Midas loved gold. King Midas said, "No, I want everything I touch to turn to gold." He woke up the next morning, and as he got out of bed, he put his hand against the bed frame, and it turned to gold. He got excited. He started touching all the furniture upstairs. Chairs, the tables, his hairbrush, it all turned to gold. He was getting a little hungry, so he went downstairs to eat breakfast. And as he grabbed a glass of water and the glass both turned to gold, so he wasn't able to satiate his thirst. He took a fork, which turned to gold, and he put it into his breakfast, and all of his food turned to gold. And just as he was trying to catch up with what was going on, his daughter Marigold ran into the home to bid her father good morning. She embraced him. Marigold, his daughter, turned to gold. She was now a gold statue in her home. In a panic, King Midas called for the fairy again. "Fairy, I hate this gift. Everything I touch turns to gold. It is not my wish. It is a curse to me." And so the fairy granted him some dust, and everything he sprinkled the dust on turned back to everything it once was. And he began with Marigold and all of those physical possessions. Sometimes our wishes and then our desire and our attachment for things become a prison for us. We just confess that in our sins earlier in the service. We said, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. And so it is sometimes with all the things that we desire too. That we have such a tight grip, we don't realize how tight of a grip it has on us. That what we consider possessions is actually possessing us rather than the other way around. When I was in high school, I was obsessed with classical guitar. I spent 3 to 5 hours a day playing classical guitar. I wanted to be the best. My dream was to do it as a career. I started taking lessons with a university professor while in high school in Bloomington, Indiana. I would drive down 2.5 hours once a week to take guitar lessons. I thought I was becoming a pretty big deal. But I got more and more obsessed and more attached to the guitar, so that my relationships at school and at home started to take second place. And my relationship with God. In college, I had the opportunity to spend a semester in Barcelona, Spain. I studied with two professors, a professor of flamenco guitar and a professor of classical guitar. It was a lonely time because I had all this time, and it was mostly to myself, because when you study music, you're not really in a classroom studying books, and with others, you're more independent. My classical guitar teacher was verbally abusive to me. And so the tight grip that the guitar was having on me started to kind of loosen its hold. I started thinking about all the relationships that took a second place to the guitar. I realized how God wasn't even really part of my life. It started to loosen its grip, and I realized that the guitar strings had me hogtied behind the back, and my ankles also hogtied behind my back. Discipleship, Jesus tells us, is costly. It means we have to let go of those things that have a hold of us, so that we would lay hold of Jesus, who lays back hold of us, not to be captive to him, but to be his precious possession, to free us to live our lives and reprioritize all of the things in our lives. Have you heard of the minimalists? They say that we shouldn't use people and love things. We should love people and use things. This is the reprioritizing of our lives as we follow Jesus. Jesus is here to free us and emancipate us from our own personal prisons. God gives us his riches. Do you know the acronym for GRACE? God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not only costly for us to follow Jesus, it was costly for Jesus. And for joy and love for us, he paid the price because he loved us. And he wants us to also love one another in this life through him, not selfishly, but sacrificially. We gain a true treasure when we live our lives this way. Christ himself. In the name of Jesus, amen.